Well, we're continuing our series on Thrive. Say Thrive. Yes, and we are in week 6, if you can believe that. And I just want to start out by saying I'm a little excited because we started with some seeds, ladies and gentlemen, and there were many people that did not believe that this grass would grow, but I am here to tell you that this is real. I actually had people come up after service and touch the grass to make sure that I wasn't faking it. It's real grass, and even someone took a picture of the bag of seed to see because they got to get their grass growing green as well. But this is what I believe. Oftentimes, people will think or tell a story that you won't thrive in your life. Have you ever had someone say they didn't believe in you? Believe in your story, believe in your life, believe in your job, believe in your career. But we serve a big God that will help all of us thrive because he said, I have come that you would have life and abundant life. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. God has abundant life for you. Abundant life for you. And you online as well, God has life for you. So we've been talking about ingredients. It's not just the seed that matters, but it's the soil. Right? It's the soil. It's the contents of the soil that help make the seed grow. So over this series, we talked about 8 different ingredients. So we're on number 6. But I know some of you haven't been here before. So I'm going to go through with us real quickly what were the other ingredients just out of review for fun so that we're all on the same page. The first ingredient was passionate love for God. Would you say that with me? Passionate love for God. Number 2. Gift-oriented ministry. Say that with me. 1, 2, 3. Gift-oriented ministry. Number 3, empowering leadership. Oh, well, let's do the echo. That sounds better. Number 4, healthy systems. And number 5, authentic worship. And today we're talking about rows and circles. Man, you guys are so good. Give it up for yourself. I mean, that was just beautiful. That was beautiful. I almost had a tear. That was so good. Hey, but we're having fun today. Well, today we're talking about rows and circles. And you might be like thinking, what does that mean? Rows and circles means when you come to church, I want you to look down. Maybe you didn't know this, but you're part of a row. Okay? You are part of a row. And unfortunately, when people think about church, that's where they stop. Today, I want to tell you that there's the power of and, that you're supposed to be a part of rows and circles. In other words, you need to be in a group. You need to be around other people. You need to be in a small group. You will thrive best when you are in rows and circles. Why? And this is the big idea. You should have been given notes. You can write this down. It's together we grow. Together we thrive. Let's say that together. Ready? Together we grow. Together we thrive. Let's see if we can do it. You know, I'm a youth pastor at heart. I've been down helping out with the youth lately, and I'm kind of excited. Let's see if we can do this together, okay? So over here, let me hear you. Ready? Together we grow. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Together we grow. Together we thrive.
Come on. That's my church right there. Let's go. We together we grow. Together we thrive. And really what's funny about that is people will say, you know, that's kind of the church growth movement. That's like, you know, how we do all this, like that's just a new way of getting people in the church. And I just want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. That actually was the way the early church was born. Most people don't realize, last week we talked about the day of Pentecost, remember this? And the Holy Spirit was poured out, and people were all in Jerusalem coming back for a festival, and the Holy Spirit hit the room, remember this? And it shook, there was an earthquake, tongues of fire came down, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues so loudly, people thought they were drunk, but then they were speaking their language, and then 3,000 people got saved in one day. Now, here's what happens. This is where rows and circles come in. What happened to all those people? They had an encounter with Jesus. And here's what's crazy. The Holy Spirit, way back then, had a next step for them. And he's got a next step for you. It's called rows and circles. Here, I'll prove it to you right now. So you're like, are you sure, Pastor Nate? Yes, it's right here in the Bible. Ready? Acts 2:42. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts 2:42. And this is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So this is their next step. What did they do? They were devoted to the teaching of the word. They had fellowship. They broke bread. That's a really fancy biblical term for they ate food. Anybody down with that? Come on, somebody. All right, they ate food together and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I want to stop there just for a quick moment. There should be a sense of awe and wonder when you come to church. There should be a sense of awe and wonder when you're in a Thrive group. Why? Because you start hearing stories. Did you not hear what Mael was telling us today? There were students getting saved at youth group on Wednesday. I don't know if you know this, but there is so much noise in the world today telling us that our generation is being lost. It's gone. There's no hope. But she just said, wait a second. There are kids coming to Christ. There are people getting baptized. There are people taking their next step of faith. There are people sharing the love of God. She got healed. There's signs and miracles and wonders. Every week we talk to people, God healed them. Just last week, a lady had been praying for a job. She asked me to pray for her, and I said, I'm praying that you're going to get a raise too. And she was like, oh, I don't know. We prayed for her. She got a job next week, $3 more an hour. Isn't that amazing? Come on. So okay, that's what I'm saying. We got to wake up. We've got good news. There should be this sense of awe. And I think what happens if you're like me, you go through the week and there's so much negativity, we forget that God's on the move. He's working. There's power. That's why we need a group. That's why we've got to thrive together. Because together we... Oh, come on. We're so close. Together we grow. Together we... There we go. Let's try that again. Together we... Together we thrive. There we go. All right. By the end, we're going to get this. We're so close. All right. All right. Together we grow. Together we thrive. There we go. So then what happens? Acts 2:42, it says this. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had need. So you got to get this picture. All these people that came, they were from out of town and they decide to stay. And they start selling possessions and property and getting houses. And they're like, you need a place to live. You need help. What's happening? They're getting in circles and they're saying, if you need something, I'll help you. That's when the body of Christ really shines, doesn't it? When you're in need, they step up. And I can tell you from my own personal experience, nobody has been more beneficial, has benefited my family and helped us more than the local church. Mael and I have had blessing after blessing because so many of you, when we first moved here, we had people putting our desks together, our tables together, our chairs together. Now, some of it I had to re-put together the next day, right? But hey, they still put it together. But there was just a swarm of people helping us. Why? Because that's what the church does. And I bet there's some people here that you have a story like that, where you were in need and the church was there for you. Why? Because we're better together. And when we have community, we step up and help each other. You need to be in a Thrive group. I need to be in a Thrive group. Okay, verse 46. This is so important. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and they broke bread in their homes. Okay, that's quite a rhythm. Think about that. Did you hear what they just said? Every day. Did you know that one of the problems we're seeing, and I'll just say this just really as gently as I can possibly say, since the pandemic, church attendance went from 2 to 3 times a month down to 75%, or 0.75%, less than a quarter of a time, less than 1 time a month, people come to church now. Get them in a Thrive group, I don't even know if that happens. Why? I think some of it is people got comfortable being at home, and that's okay if you can't come. We love that you're watching online. But I'm just telling you, when the Holy Spirit's moving, you need to be with the people of God and watch what he will do. The best thing for your soul is to be connected to the body of Christ. That's why in Corinthians it says that you are all members of the body of Christ. Satan wants you to be dismembered, to not be a part, to not be connected. Why? Because when you're isolated, you're not as powerful. He may not be able to destroy you, but he can sure put the fire out. He can sure get you lukewarm. He can sure get you all alone and by yourself and feeling bad and down. But I'm telling you, something happens when you come into the body of Christ and you start saying, oh, what a beautiful name. And you start hearing people around you, whether they sound good or not. You start feeling the presence of God. He changes your life and suddenly signs and wonders, and you start realizing I'm a part of something bigger than myself. Then I get in a small group that week and I begin to see other people face to face, younger, older. And by the way, older people, the younger ones are watching you. Older people, you're watching the younger ones too, aren't you? What is he wearing? Those white shoes? I don't know. Let me show him how to button. I had someone say, you want me to show you how to button your shirt up? I said, no, apparently this is cool. I don't know. All right, some of you are like, yeah, I know what he's talking about. I don't know. My wife dresses me, and apparently this is the way it's supposed to look. All right, I'm good. Right? Absolutely. She's helping my game because I don't have any game. Any husbands in here feel the same way? Come on, somebody. Let's give it up for our wives. They're dressing us. They're helping us out. Here's what we need to understand. We are better together. We are better together. So my question for you as we read through the scripture is, does your life, does your faith involve and be connected to other believers? Are you connected? Because this is what they did. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know about you, but that sounds like revival to me. And that's what I'm praying for our church, that we would stop arguing, fighting, disagreeing, letting the little things that we don't agree on and actually go to the big thing that we do agree on, that Jesus is on the throne. The Holy Spirit's still alive and active, and there's hope for you, and there's hope for me, and we have joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can I get an amen, somebody? So the question I want us to ask as we go through this message real quick is, why would the Holy Spirit want us to encounter him in Rosen Circles, okay? So why would the Holy Spirit do this? Why would he want you and I to encounter his presence in Rosen Circles? Because he could do it in a lot of different ways, and even the Old Testament and New Testament, even, there's lots of ways God shows up. But for some reason, we look in the New Testament, he says, I want you in rows, and I want you in circles. I want you at church, and I want you to experience the presence of God in your house. I want you to be doing both. Why would he do such a thing? And I think the first one goes all the way back to Genesis number one. It's just simply not good for man to be alone. I didn't say that. God said that. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, here's what he said. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So why do people want to be alone? Have you ever thought about that for a second? Why do people want to be alone? I think for some, honestly, their personality, they enjoy being alone. And they feel recharged. Anybody that's introvert, that's just like, man, come on, it's okay. This isn't an altar call time. Just raise your hand. All the introverts, I'm sorry. Introverts like, you're making me raise my hand? Don't you know I'm an introvert? You're literally doing the opposite. Don't worry, I won't make you hug anybody or touch anybody, okay? Just raise, maybe we could go like this. And then you look at the extroverts, you're like, what are wrong with those people? They're out talking to everyone. I'm one of those, okay? But here's the thing. Even the most introverted person, the Bible never says that's an excuse not to belong to the body of Christ. Never said, like, it was nowhere in the Bible. So here's what we have to understand. Even though my personality may be disposed to something different, there's something that happens when I connect to other believers. Right. There's something spiritual that happens in my life that I have a group. There's something spiritual that happens when I come to church. There's something that happens when I make this a part of my routine. Some people are like, well, you're just getting religious and legalistic. No. I know for a fact I will not have a six-pack if I don't eat right and lift weights every single day. I'm hoping it's going to happen magically, but it just doesn't work that way. We need consistent, regular nutrition and connection. If you want to thrive, I'm just telling you, we can't just sit by ourselves and think it's all going to happen on our own but doing nothing. And I want to say for everyone in this room, I'm so proud of you. You got up on Memorial Day weekend and you're here. Maybe because you're hungry for the Lord. I don't know. Anybody else with me on that? Come on. And so what ends up happening is you'll find this. Anybody else find this? When you're on your way to church, it feels like the most opposition in the world is against you. That snooze alarm seems really nice. I don't know, maybe there's a car accident like somebody else, Pastor Isaiah told us. I mean, there's so much opposition. Why? Because together we grow and together we thrive. And I want to tell you also, science has actually backed this up. I did a study and I looked at three different studies from Stanford University, UC Berkeley, and the American Psychological Association.gov, and I found out that there are very practical reasons why you should be connected in a small group. I want to read a few of them to you. Number one, there are actual physical health benefits for you if you're connected in a group. It says that you will live longer. Studies have shown that people with strong social ties live longer than those with weaker connections. Your immune system. If you're sick, you actually get better. You get better faster. You recover from illness sooner. Supportive relationships can aid in faster recovery from illnesses and surgeries. Second thing, area, is personal fulfillment. Joy and happiness. Meaningful connections with others bring joy and happiness. Celebrating successes and sharing life's moments with loved ones enhance life satisfaction. Life purpose. You can discover your purpose in a group. The third area is emotional and psychological benefits. You have a sense of belonging, emotional support. Many people know this to be true, but they've experienced when this doesn't happen, is mental health, self-esteem, and confidence. Everything that I just told you is science catching up with what God already said. It's not good for persons, men and women, to be alone. We need each other. So my question for you is, what's holding you back from being connected? I think a lot of people in the local church, it's really simple. Offense. Somebody's hurt them. Somebody has said something that was not right, that was wrong, or maybe had something done to them. And what ends up happening, if you're like me, like most normal people, if you get, there's an offense in your life, what do? You retreat. And you go, and by the way, that's pretty normal, but here's the problem. There's a difference between an offense and being offended. Offense is an action or event. Offended is a spirit that you carry with you, that you walk. I am offended the rest of my life. And I want to just tell you this really quickly. If you want to be connected and grow, there will be offenses that will come. But how you respond to it is up to you. Do we do Matthew 18? Which means do we confront and figure this out and clean up our messes? Do we fight for relationship? Why? Because together we grow and together we thrive. And my prayer is that every single person in this room would grow and get in a connect group, a thrive group, and become what God has called you to become. Because what happens when you get in a group, you will thrive. I want to show you a video of an example of a family in our church that started coming not to church on Sundays, but to Better Together, and just started in a small group and watch what happened to them.
My name is Joey Cuadros.
Hi, I'm Yvette. We wanted to just share a little bit of how we got connected to PCC. I know for us, we actually got invited to a small group on Wednesday.
Yep.
And it was a marriage group, and we were really excited about that just because we felt like we can grow in our marriage.
100%. 100%.
And we wanted to just come and check it out. And to be honest, I was kind of personally hoping that it was something that we could come and sit and listen to someone speak and then say a quick hello and skedaddle out.
Yep.
And to our surprise, we walked in and it was round tables, small groups. And I was a little nervous just because I wasn't really sure what that would be like, just talking with everyone. And it was so much fun. We are very much, for our whole Christian life, people that would come to Sunday, go to service every week, every Sunday, but we never really stretched ourselves to do anything outside of that.
Right.
We didn't do small groups. We didn't really attend anything else. And there was something about getting invited to that, and then how much fun we had it, how connected we felt with people just the very first night, how cool it was to just see people on purpose, loving Jesus, wanting to grow in their marriages, and we just kept coming back every single week. It was so much fun.
100%. I think the association was like very powerful. Seeing like other men and women who want to intentionally develop their relationships and are actually setting time aside to do it.
Yeah.
Like for me, it was just, I gained so much like love and respect in that room because I saw people here, grown men, taking notes. You know, I hadn't seen that since high school. And so for me, it was just like, wow, these people are really intentional and really want to get better in the marriage. And so, you know, when I was talking to Yvette about this, I was like, dude, this is a great opportunity for us to, you know, associate with people who are also working on what they're working on and having the same battles we're having and the same conversations and arguments that we're having, but we get to, it's, you know, it's all normal, and it allowed us to really reflect on ourselves and then get around people who, again, who are just wanting to move forward in their marriages and strengthen them. And it was cool because we were just in our room and in a community of people that are just moving forward in that arena, and they don't want it to kind of just wither in the wind. You know what I mean? Like they want to, you know, have the best relationship they can, since, you know, that's the only one that they have, you know? And so for me, it was just, wow. I just gained a lot of respect and love for people in those rooms.
And we've never really felt community like that in church. And then made us want to come to Sunday service.
Yeah. And we were coming for a couple months, huh?
Yeah, we were coming to a Wednesday group for a couple nights and doing that small group and having fun. And then we're like, let's check out Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And then that led me to wanting to go to Tuesday women's group. And we've been plugging into as many things as we possibly can just because of that community that we felt, that just connection. It's just unmatched. And so we just want to say thank you so much.
Seriously, we're very, very grateful. Plus, it's always a movie when Pastor Nate and Myle are up there.
Yes.
So
they're awesome.
We learn so much, and they're very rooted in with God. And to me, that's what I wanted.
You know? Want to be around that.
100%. So just, we're very grateful. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to just be around you guys and learn from you guys.
Yes.
Awesome. So good. Together we grow. Together we thrive. And why is that? Because when the second thing, number two, if you were taking notes, we find our strength. You see, the Holy Spirit wants you to be strong, and he wants you to be strong in your relationships. When you're healthy and connected, you are stronger. When I was in college, say that when it worked together. Some people don't do that. I did that. But I was about 24, 25, and one of my friends was moving out of his house, and he had a pool table on the top level of his house, like a full-on billiards, like, you know, 9-foot whatever, and he was moving, and I should have walked up the stairs and saw that and said, you need to hire somebody. But being young and kind of crazy, we got 8 of our friends, and we went up there, and we took the legs off this pool table, and we had to carry it all the way down a flight of stairs and get it out of the house. So we're lifting this table, and we're starting to go down the stairs. And as we get down the second flight, one of the guys in the back carrying a corner starts shaking. He's like, I can't hold it. I can't go much longer. And he's like, somebody help me. And we're like, oh my gosh. So we start going down as fast as we can, and he's screaming, and we get down and we look, he wasn't even touching the table the whole time. He totally faked us out. And what was amazing was 7 people apparently can carry that heavy pool table. And the fact is, you and I, we find strength in groups. We are better, we are stronger, and we grow together. And I would dare say this, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. The people in your group will directly determine the direction that you are headed. And there's nothing more, there's one of the most powerful examples of this is in Scripture. If you go back to Exodus, Moses has just been up on the mountain. And you remember this part when fire and smoke was coming and God gives him the 10 commandments. And he has revival, he's got fire, he's coming down, and he is going to give the children of Israel the law, and he's excited. He's thinking that we're going to have a great moment with him. And what does he find? Singing and dancing, but they're worshiping a golden calf made by his brother. I mean, come on. Like, totally missing it. He's supposed to be helping the people stay close to God and wait for Moses, but instead they're worshiping a false idol. So what does he do? He comes down, he takes the tablets, he chucks it and breaks it, and he's all upset. And in verse 25, this is what happens. Exodus 32, verse 25 says, Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughing stock to their enemies. By the way, when the church is in disarray, fighting each other, killing each other online, guess who mocks us the most? The world. Talk about a poor testimony. I mean, I hear it all the time. People are like, man, nobody's worse to the church than the church. They're literally destroying themselves from the inside out. But look at what Moses does. He stood up at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Now, I want to give you real quick, who are the Levites? Levites come from Jacob's third son, Levi. He becomes one of the 12 original leaders and the clans and the tribes of Israel. Yes, Jacob had 12 sons and they all had their own tribe. And guess what they were known for? They were known for the worship leaders of the nation. When they would go out to war, they'd send the Levites out to worship God and blow the trumpets. They had a very sacred calling. Now check this out. Out of all 12 tribes, only one stayed close to God. Only one came to Moses and said, I'm going to follow you. Only one circle stayed close. And I just want to warn you, if you're in a circle that loves to gossip, that loves to tear people down, I just want to encourage you, get a new circle. Because it's just because you're in a row doesn't mean you're in the right circle. We need circles that will encourage us, that will fight for us, that when we're down, they're not going to say, oh, let me tell you how bad I had it one time. No. We need people that will encourage each other, that will lift each other's burdens. You and I need a circle that will help us go the right direction. I want to ask you a question. Are you in the right circle? Is your heart around people that if the time came where it says, hey, I'm going with God, would you go with them? As I was reading this, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. And he said, Portland Christian Center, this is what it feels like to live in Portland. It feels like everybody else is running to the golden calves and worshiping the wrong things. But there's one tribe, one community of people that says, no, we're going to stand with Jesus. We're going to worship the one true God. We believe that God will restore our city. We believe that God will restore our nation. We believe that God's not done with us yet. Can I get somebody to say amen? That kind of hope and that kind of faith happens in a circle. And look what happens in verse 29. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today. And I believe that there are people in this room that God wants to set you apart to the Lord today. Maybe it's time to leave some things behind. And this is going to be hard. I'm going to say this hopefully as gently as possible. But some of you here have some relationships you got to let go of so that you can be connected to the right relationships. And the Holy Spirit, I can tell just by the way that came out, some of you are already starting to think, oh man, I've got a difficult conversation coming. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit will help you to do that in love. But I want you to hear me so just as gently as I can say, if you disconnect, remember, you've got to reconnect with the right group. So many people, it's like they quit something, but they never go back towards something. The best thing that you can do is pursue Jesus. The best thing that you can do is allow the Holy Spirit in the rows this morning to say, I want more of you. I need your presence. I'm hungry for you. I want you. Why? Because he'll begin to change you and transform you. And then he'll put you in a group, and you're like, man, Pastor Nate, I just want to do what Jesus did. Well, if that's true, I've got good news for you. If Jesus belonged to a small group, you should too. Point number three, if Jesus belonged to a small group, so should you. Like, really, Jesus belonged to a small group? Yes. When he started his public ministry, you know the very first thing he did? James, John, follow me. Matthew, Thomas, Judas. Yeah, you, Judas. Come follow me. Even the people he knew would betray him, he still picked them. And he got a group of people, and I love this quote, never underestimate the power of a small group of committed people to change the world. In fact, it is the only thing that ever has. When the Holy Spirit is in a group of people, and he's filling them with power, and they're more committed to loving him and reaching the world, powerful things happen. So my question for you is really a simple one, is will you allow the Holy Spirit to transform you? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to pursue you so that you get into a group? Why? Because we need each other. Together we... Yes! All right, we got it. Together we... Together we... And I want to remind you of what this verse says. Can we put that verse up just real quick? Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Your response to the work and moving of the Holy Spirit encourages other people to do the same. Some people are like, oh, that's just hype. No, it's not. It's actually biblical. Your life encourages their life. Your circle builds up that circle. Your row fills other people up to say, hey, I might be going through something, but I have a person on my row that's praying for me, that's believing that God can do a miracle in my life. We need each other. If I could have the worship team come forward. As they're getting ready, I want to tell you a quick little story. You see, Thrive groups are nothing new. Small groups are new. I'm sure all of you have all heard about small groups. And maybe you've lost the passion for them, or maybe you've had a bad experience. I just want to remind you that you need a circle. When I was in high school, my youth pastor had this cool vision that every high school in our area would have a small group. And so he called them, he called them SOS groups. I'm like, what does that mean? And it means save our schools. So we made these cool t-shirts that all said, save our schools. And so I walked into my campus, and I had a shirt that said, save our school. I went to Seattle Christian. And it's supposed to be a Christian school, right? And I remember the principal stops me in the hallway as I'm walking up, and she says, hey, why are you wearing a save our school shirt? And I'm like, because our school needs to be saved. And she goes, but it's a Christian school. And I said, well, obviously you don't know the students that go to our school. And she was like, what do you mean? And I started telling her about what this guy was doing the other night. This guy, I mean, drugs, alcohol, sleeping around, messing around, fighting. I mean, you could like literally name it all. And here's the thing I told her. Christian schools are where people know how to fake it, but they don't know how to really live it. And she looked at me and she goes, we need a group in our school. By the time we were done that school year, we went from one small group to five small groups. And there was revival happening on our campus. And here's what I want to say. Even if you're playing church and you think you're fooling everybody else, you're not. You're not fooling anybody. And what's worse is you're not even fooling yourself. I believe the Holy Spirit is here and he's stirring hearts and he wants you to make him the king of your heart. If you could bow your heads just for a moment, I want to ask the Holy Spirit. He's doing a work, I can already tell. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I believe that he's working, that he wants to put you in family. He wants you to have rows and circles. He wants to transform your life. If you're here this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just raise your hand right where you are? And I want to help you take a next step. Your best guess is Jesus. We had two people raise their hand in the first service. Anybody here want to raise their hand and ask Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Awesome. So good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I saw that hand. That's awesome. Would you repeat this prayer after me? Jesus, the whole church, let's all repeat it together. Jesus, forgive me my sins. Wash me and make me clean. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a clap for those who raise their hand. If you raised your hand or if you're online, all you got to do is click the QR code that's coming up right now and take your next step. And if you're in the room, we would love to follow up with you. We say your best yes is just right over there at the hub. A pastor will meet you after service. And we'd love to follow up with you. But for everyone here in this room, would you mind standing with me? And I want to encourage you with one last thought. Rows and circles. Together we grow, together we... Together we grow, together we thrive. I want to give you a moment to ask the Holy Spirit a question. The Bible says that He will lead and guide you into all truth. Did you know that? I want to ask you to give Him 10. Give Him 10, not a high five. 10 minutes. 10 minutes to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to respond to this morning? We're going to have some music playing. The altars are going to be open. You can come to the prayer hub afterwards and while people are there. But I want to open the altars because I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that when you encounter Him, you can come in one way and leave completely different. You can come in offended and come out completely free. You can come in addicted and completely boundless in Jesus' name. Absolutely, I believe that. 100%. So my question to you is, are you hungry? Are you? Oh, come on, we got someone that's hungry. Let's go. So give Him 10. So would you lift your hands to me right now and ask the Holy Spirit, what's my response? Do I need to come down and get on my knees? Do I need to just lift my hands? Do I need to spread out? What do I need to do? I believe there's a next step. If you need to forgive somebody, that's your next step. Whatever it is, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do?
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes. And we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.